We're going to read the scriptures now, then we'll have another word of prayer before we come to the Lord's message. Turning, please, to Romans chapter 8 and reading a few verses together, beginning at the verse number 23. So please take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and reading at the verse number 23, and let us hear God's word. And Paul says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of these verses to our hearts. They're very well known verses, and yet they are always fresh to us as we come to consider them, even on this occasion. And my focus tonight will be on verse 27 especially, the latter part of 26, but verse 27 especially. And may the Lord take this as word and bless it to us this evening. Let us all again unite our hearts in prayer. O God, our gracious Father, we come afresh to Thee, and we bow down in Thy presence, continuing before Thee, worshipping Thee, the triune God of glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank Thee for that great doctrine, the doctrine of the Trinity of divine persons. And we rejoice, O Lord, that this is a doctrine that is revealed in Thy holy word. And we bless Thee for the momentous nature of it and for the blessed encouragement that it brings to our hearts. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt hear us in heaven, Thy dwelling place, that Thou wilt help us to worship Thee, Father, Son, and Spirit, as we should. Help us to come to Thee tonight with a true heart, with that full assurance that the Bible, all that it teaches about Christ, all that it says to us about our salvation, about the way of redemption, is true, and that we are able to rest our souls upon the finished work of the Lamb. We thank Thee for the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Godhead. We worship Him. We worship Thee, blessed Savior, in that Thou didst come into this world, sent by the Father and endued by the Spirit to do that great work of redemption and deliver Thy people for Thine own name's sake, to have a people that would be Thy people, whom Thou wouldst dwell among, not only in time but throughout eternity. O Lord, we rejoice in these matters. We come before Thee, thanking Thee for the finished work, thanking Thee for the atoning sacrifice and for the blood of the everlasting covenant. And O Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt hear us tonight as we gather before Thee. Bless this time to every soul, to every waiting heart, all those who now in their homes are gathered together, who have met around in the place that is familiar to them, their own living room, their own kitchen, wherever it might be. And there they desire to meet with God. We thank Thee for single people meeting, for couples, for families. Lord, Thou hast said that where two or three are met together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. And Lord, may Thy dear people know Thy presence. May their hearts be warmed and renewed. May they find the Lord's word a blessing to them tonight, an encouragement to them. May they be given grace to lay hold upon Thee after the close of the time of preaching, and as we get down to prayer, O Lord, may they find their hearts been lifted up and carried along by the Spirit. O Lord, we pray that the Holy Ghost will be our helper tonight. We have read of him here, how he ministers, and he even especially in the arena of prayer. And O Lord, may thy Spirit come and give help tonight unto every waiting heart. We pray for every family represented. We pray, Lord, for each home in which there is a soul or souls gathering before thee tonight. Lord, remember one and all. Remember thy dear children. Bless them, we pray. Encourage them, we pray. Give help from heaven, we pray. O Lord, we look to thee that in these days thou wilt visit our souls. Thou wilt revive our hearts. Thou wilt lift us heavenward and Godward. Draw us away after thee, O Lord. Bring us into the heavenly places in our own personal times with thee in our homes. O Lord, we pray that we will draw nigh to God to have him draw nigh to us as he has promised. Lord, we pray for a deepening of the work of grace. Pray for that quickening of the inward man by the Holy Spirit. Teach us to pray. Lord, move our souls to pray, even in a fresh manner, in a new way, lifting us above ourselves. And above all that we would seek to do in prayer, Lord, we pray that we will have the anointing of the Holy Ghost to lay hold upon thy throne. O Lord, let us know the needs of the hour. Let us know the needs of this congregation, those who are unwell, elderly, on in years now, some who are in great need of the touch of God. Remember them this evening and come nigh to them and bless them, we pray, and encourage them. Lord, remember the young as well. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless our young families and their children. Lord, remember those who are now in their eventide of life, who meet in their own homes and who wait in God and who long for thee just the same as before. O Lord, refresh their minds and their hearts. Touch thy children in body and in soul. And Lord, when they know thy quickening presence, remember the work of God represented in this congregation. O Lord, we come again to thee with the earnest plea that soon thou wilt make the way for thy people to be again in this house and in other meeting houses where God's word is proclaimed faithfully. And there is a people who gather themselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ outside the camp of all of the apostasy and ecumenism of this present evil age. O God and Father, we pray for the moving of God. Pray for the visitation of the Spirit. Pray for our nation and for our land. O God, we do ask thee to visit many souls, to work in power, to grant times of refreshing and the blessing of heaven and the moving of God, the conversion of many unto Christ, the restoring of those whose hearts are cold and careless. O Lord, work, we pray, for thine own glory and for the sake and the honour of our blessed Redeemer. Lord, abide with us now. Remember the needs of the work of God on a wider scale. Think of our missionaries both at home and on the foreign field, and we ask, O Lord, that thou wilt be with them, thou wilt encourage them, thou wilt bless them this night, and come nigh unto them and their labours for thee. Heavenly Father, give help to faithful men and women who are serving the Lord Jesus and who are seeking to do a work for him in this day and in this time. So, Lord, abide with us now. Help us, we pray, as we continue in thy holy presence. For we pray all of this for Christ's sake and for his glory and for God's eternal praise. Amen and amen. Now please turn with me to Romans chapter 8, where I read a little earlier. And I want to bring your minds tonight to these last two verses that I read with you. We'll read them again. Likewise, the Spirit also helped with our infirmities. Romans 8:26. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Or as it could be read, and literally could be read, according to God. And so may God bless his word to our souls. Now this eighth chapter of the book of Romans has rightly been described as the chapter of the Spirit. The opening verse of the chapter clearly sets this theme for us, because in verse number 1, Paul specifically teaches that those who are truly justified walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The word after means according to, so it's referring to a people, these opening lines of this chapter, referring to a people who walk according to the Holy Spirit, the true Christian, the genuine Christian, the one who is no longer condemned, who is therefore a justified man or woman, behaves and walks according to the Holy Spirit, not according to the flesh. And in that way, Paul introduces this matter of the work of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. And right on through the whole chapter, he is essentially dealing with that line of thought. He develops it in a variety of ways. And one of them has to do with the prayer life of the Christian, as we come to now in these verses, and especially 26 and 27. And it is with regard to the ministry of the Spirit in relation to prayer that I want to draw your attention, as once again you prepare yourselves to seek the Lord in your own homes at the throne of heavenly grace. And how good it is to know that though you cannot be here in the house of God with me as I speak, yet in your homes tonight you have access to the throne of grace, and you're able to get down before God. Just keep in mind all your brethren and sisters in their homes, and lay hold on God and cry mightily unto the Lord at his heavenly throne. Now at this point in these verses, Paul wants to, and writes to, encourage God's people who are obviously struggling in their prayer lives. And isn't that true? We all struggle many a time in the place of prayer, and we do so in various ways. So in verse 26, the apostle refers to the infirmity of not knowing what we should pray for as we ought. Notice that Paul includes himself in these words. He knew and he felt this infirmity of not knowing what to pray for as the believer ought to do. And he wanted his readers to know that he had this feeling of infirmity in this particular matter. That's always an encouragement, you know, because when you think about the mighty apostle struggling in this very arena, it is good for God's people to know that the fact of their infirmity is common to all believers, and even the most advanced in the things of God, like the apostle Paul, and who was more mighty than Paul with regard to the things of God, also struggle with regard to the matter of not knowing what we should pray for when we come before the throne of heavenly grace. And it was imperative that Paul therefore would give instruction to these believers in the church in the city of Rome about the help of the Spirit with regard to this infirmity of not knowing what to pray in the struggles and in the difficulties of life. That's the setting. These people are struggling, they are suffering, they are enduring great opposition, obviously, as the earlier verses show us, and therefore they have this infirmity. How do we deal with this in prayer? How do we lay hold on God and on this matter of praying in the context of difficulty and opposition, whatever it might be? And surely that's a very relevant matter, because we live in a time in peculiar circumstances where we feel the difficulty, and especially the difficulty of the hour, and especially this difficulty of not being able to come to the house of God as yet. We long for this, we pray for this, we're looking for this, and therefore we wait on God to that end, but we struggle with it. And I know that many of you do, for you've told me this, and you long for the time when you can come again into the house of God. And so here are words that are relevant to believers struggling with many situations in life, finding this infirmity of not knowing how to pray about it, and yet given the great promise that the Spirit does help us with that specific infirmity. The precise point that Paul shows the saints is that by the help of the Spirit, The believer is enabled to pray in the will of God. This is the sense of verse 27. Notice these words in this verse. It says, He, that is the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The word maketh there has the sense of producing, creating in our hearts, in our souls, intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's not that the Holy Spirit prays for us and we simply sit back and take it easy, so to speak. That's not what it means. It means that the Holy Spirit stirs our hearts. The Spirit's ministry of prayer is born in our souls. It's an agreement with the will of God. And of course, it makes perfect sense that the prayer that is produced by the Spirit of God in the heart of the Christian will be in agreement with the will of God and therefore will be answered. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. He is therefore omniscient. He knows the divine mind. He has infallible knowledge of the eternal will of the Godhead. And when he comes upon a Christian or upon a company of Christians, he will not lead them to pray except in keeping with the will of God. Oh, what encouragement these words convey to our souls. He maketh intercession. He produceth intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There are two main things I want to say from these words with respect to the believer's relationship with the Holy Spirit in the context of prayer. Number one, and it stands to sense to say this first, we must be dependent on the Spirit in prayer. We must be dependent on the Spirit in prayer. The tenor of these verses is such that there is an unmistakable inference of our need to be dependent on the Spirit of the living God in the place of prayer, as of course in all areas of the spiritual life. His help is indispensable. Now, the Holy Spirit is the author of all true prayer. Go back to verse 15. It says, Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, pray, and seek God under these terms, Abba, Father. It's not a matter of merely saying a name or repeating a name. But what it means is we come before the Lord by the help of the Spirit, having the Spirit of adoption within our hearts, and we find that our souls go out after the living God, after the eternal Father, and there will be a pouring out of our souls unto Him. The Holy Spirit, verse 15, is showing us, is the author of all true prayer. Paul says the same in Galatians 4, verse 6, because ye are sons, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The same concept is there. The same name is used. The same title is employed, Abba, Father. And therefore, Paul is bringing home to us there also that the Holy Ghost is the author of all true prayer. Therefore, be dependent on the Spirit when you get down to pray tonight. He's the author of all true prayer. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit is the quickener in all true prayer. Now that word quickener that I use, of course, is a biblical word. It's found in the Old Testament. It's found in the New Testament. And we find that the Holy Spirit is the one who quickens. That is especially His ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ sends His Spirit into the hearts of His people. And therefore, through the mediation of Christ, we receive the Holy Ghost. He quickens us. He gives life to us. And when it comes to praying, it is the work of the Spirit of God to enliven our souls, to quicken them, to stir them up, and to move us to pray. And we have that said by the psalmist. Psalm 80, verse 18, where the psalmist says, Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Now remember, it's the Spirit who quickens. It says that in John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. And other places as well. That's why he's called, the Holy Spirit is called in Zechariah 12 verse 10, the Spirit of grace and supplication. In other words, the Holy Spirit ignites and incites prayer within our souls because he is the mighty quickener. So when the psalmist uttered those words, quicken us, he was praying there for the Spirit's quickening. And then he says, and we will call upon thy name. Is it not very clear from these different verses to which I draw your attention that we cannot pray and we will not pray without the ministry of the Spirit of God? He's the one who brings us nigh, who moves our souls in God's direction, who causes that urgency within us to be felt deeply, and we sense and we are conscious of this quickening within our very being. The Holy Spirit coming upon us, stirring our souls, moving our hearts, putting thoughts into our minds, giving us the longing and the yearning to pour it out before God. What is that, Christian? That is prayer being given by the Spirit within the heart of the Christian that then returns to the God who moved the Spirit to give it. The Holy Spirit is the moving cause of our access unto God. Think of the great statement in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. By one Spirit, we all have access by him that is through Christ unto the Father. We think of the words of Jude, praying in the Holy Ghost. And therefore, our dependence upon the Holy Spirit is clearly brought forth in these two ways. He is the author of prayer, and he is the one who quickens us to lay hold upon God. And that means that since we depend on the Spirit to pray really and truly, we must not jeopardize the help that he gives to us. Otherwise, we will flounder in prayer. Oh, that's easily enough brought about in our lives. We flounder aimlessly. We find our minds wandering and so on. When we get down to pray, oh, isn't it true? So many things come rushing in, so many thoughts crowd for attention, and then we're floundering aimlessly. But that will happen even more so if we do not exercise caution with regard to our dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must not grieve the Spirit of God. If you'll turn, let me please, to Ephesians chapter 4, where you find those words. I want you to notice the context in which they are used. Ephesians 4 and the verse number 30. And Paul says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. But that verse begins with the word and, the conjunction. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And so we go back into the preceding verses and we notice what Paul says, for example, from verse 25 down through to verse 30. And he says, wherefore, verse 25, put away lying, speak every man with his neighbor, truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And he's talking here about not neighbors in general, but your spiritual neighbors. He says, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Then verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. And so you'll see that this admonition not to grieve the Holy Spirit lies in a context where Paul enunciates sin after sin, showing that those sins will grieve the Holy Spirit. And so since we are dependent on the Spirit of God, we must come before the Lord confessing our sin and seeking for cleansing, and furthermore, dealing with things in our hearts, in our lives, in our relationship with God, in our relationship with our fellow believers, as is the setting in Romans or in Ephesians 4, that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And therefore, since we're dependent upon Him, let us not only not grieve Him, but let us not quench Him. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Then it says immediately, despise not prophesyings. And those two statements go together. Quench not the Holy Spirit. They're really commands more than statements. Quench not the Holy Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. In that setting, prophesyings is a reference, very simply speaking, to preaching. And so, if there are believers who reject the Word and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, they are going to quench the Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who gives the Word, who commands the blessing of God upon the preaching of the Word. And today in our times, isn't preaching to such a great degree despised? And people belittle the preacher and his message, but what they're really doing is they are speaking against God. For it's the Lord who gives the word and commands that word to be preached, and therefore let us come before God tonight with this true sense of dependence on the Holy Spirit, that we will not grieve Him, that we will not quench Him, but rather that we'll be in submission to Him and what He reveals in this book, and what is brought before us in the ministry of the Word of God, or our own reading of the Scripture, whatever it might be. Ah, my dear friend, we are dependent on the Spirit in prayer. Going back to Romans 8, this is absolutely clear, as I say, from these verses 26 and 27. The Holy Spirit helps your infirmity of not knowing what you will pray for when you get down to prayer. Therefore, you need to depend upon the Spirit of God. We must be dependent on the Spirit. But furthermore, we must be directed by the Spirit in prayer. Now, this matter of direction by the Spirit comes up in verse 14. There the apostle says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we have it there. The Holy Spirit leads believers. And one of the areas in which He leads or guides is surely in the ministry of prayer. And as verse 27 indicates, it is the Spirit's ministry to lead believers, to direct them into the will of God in the place of prayer. Now remember that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. He is God the Holy Ghost. Therefore, He knows the will of God, and as we are dependent on Him, as I've already said, He will lead the believer to pray according to the will of God. The two go together. And the will of God is clearly in view. In verse 27, it says, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And that's a reference to the Lord searching our hearts and discerning there the mind of the Spirit. This matter of the Spirit on whom we are dependent in prayer, actually at work as we pray, helping us, creating petitions within our souls, laying upon our minds and hearts burdens and desires that we then pour out at the throne of heavenly grace. And as this is going on, the Lord searches our hearts, the hearts of His children, and He knows the mind of the Spirit, because the mind of the Spirit is one with the mind of the Father and the mind of the Son. And therefore the Holy Spirit creates intercession for the saints, that is, for their benefit, according to the will of God. You could not get words that are more clear on this matter of the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and look with me at similar verses, for it's good to get this established in our minds. 1 Corinthians 2, and the verse number 12, or verse number 10, we'll begin there. And notice what it says. It says, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, the background to that is verse 9. And when you look at verse 9 quickly with me before we move on. Verse 9 says, as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now in verse 9, Paul is referring to the unsaved man, not the Christian. Think about the verse carefully. The eye of the unsaved man has never seen. The ear of the unsaved man has never heard. The heart of the unsaved man has never had entered into it. What? The things which God has prepared for them that love him. What are the things that God has prepared for those who love him? The entire gospel. The entire gospel. That's what's meant by that closing phrase of verse 9. The things that God has prepared for those who love him are the things that are in the great doctrine of redemption through the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God has prepared all that for his own dear people. But take the unsaved man, and his understanding is nil. And his hearing of these things never happens. And his heart is impervious to it all. Then look at verse 10. Here's the contrast. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Here is the Holy Spirit again in the hearts of God's people, and he's bringing home to them the great truths of the gospel, and he's applying those truths to the souls of Christians. He goes on to say in verse 10, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The word searcheth in that verse does not express a process of investigation, as if the Holy Spirit himself has to discover something of the divine mind. No, that doesn't hold at all, because the Holy Spirit is God and knows the divine mind. And so what verse 10 is saying when it says the Spirit searcheth all things is simply this. There's the thought here of the profound knowledge of the Spirit of God. There is an ever-present knowledge of the deep things of God and the Holy Ghost, because he's God. That's what it means. And then verse 12. Move to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Here it is again. The things that are given to us of God, as you have at the end of verse 9, essentially, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, the things that are freely given to us of God, that's the gospel. All the different aspects of redemption, all that's involved in what God does for sinners, oh, these glorious things that God has prepared for sinners like us that are freely given to us by God, that's what's in view. And the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals them. Now here's the next and the vital point. How does he reveal them? Look at verse 13. Which things also we speak or preach, not in the words. Now notice this. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And so what Paul is saying is, the things that God has prepared for those who are his people that are not known by the world, the lost humanity around us, but are known only by Christians, are revealed to Christians by the Holy Spirit, but they are revealed in words which the Holy Ghost gives, not which man's wisdom teaches or gives. And so, what a marvelous passage this is, because it is showing us that it is in the will, it's in the Word of God, that the will of God is revealed. This is vital. We're thinking here in this main point, really. Yes, we've seen that we're dependent on the Spirit. But now, this main point, we're directed by the Spirit in prayer. And how does He direct us? Yes, He works in our hearts. But dear Christian, He doesn't speak audibly within our hearts. He causes the Scriptures, the words that He has given, to come home to our souls. You take that expression in verse 13, words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now, where are those words? They're in the book. They're in the Bible. I want you to get a hold of that. That is vitally important. Do not listen to the preacher who will tell you that God is still giving you revelation, that the Holy Ghost is still speaking today in that sense and giving you words. No, that is not happening. We believe in not only the inspiration of this book, but because we believe in the inspiration of this book, we believe in the sufficiency of the book. And therefore, what we're finding is that as we read and we study the book, we are reading the words which the Holy Ghost has given. And as we read the word and we meditate on it and we fill our minds with that word and it goes down into our hearts, what happens then? There is a generation of prayer within our souls. There is the excitement, in that sense of the word, of pleas and petitions and yearnings and longings after God, after the things of God. And thereby the Holy Spirit is directing us in prayer. Oh, it's so clear, it's so plain. There is no misunderstanding of this unless people are going to shut their minds to what God shows us in His own precious word. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying here from the Bible itself. Turn, please, to Jeremiah 29 and the verse number 10. There are many examples that could be given. But Jeremiah 29 and the verse number 10. Now listen carefully to what is said here. For thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 29 verse 10, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. That's Jerusalem. For I know the thoughts that I will think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now listen carefully to verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. What do you find in these verses? You find that before the captivity ever came, God gave to Jeremiah this revelation that for 70 years the people of God would be in Babylon in captivity. Then the Lord says, I'll visit you and I will perform my good word toward you. And he goes on to say, then ye shall call upon me. What's he saying? You'll find my word in those days after the 70 years are up. And you will discover that I gave the promise that Israel are to come back to their own land, back to Jerusalem, back to their own land. And when you get a hold of those words, then ye shall go and pray unto me. Isn't that a wonderful example of the very thing we're seeing tonight? The Holy Spirit directing God's people in prayer, but He directs them by the Word of God. And you know, one of the examples of a man who found the words of Jeremiah 70 years later on was Daniel. Daniel 9. Read the first couple of verses where Daniel tells us that he understood by books. He found the writing of Jeremiah. And what did he read? He read what is found in Jeremiah 29, that after 70 years, the Lord says, I'll visit you, I'll bring you home. And Daniel set himself to pray. Let me ask you, Christian, are you reading the book? Are you filling your heart with the Word of God? Are you becoming familiar more and more and more with the Scriptures? Are you getting down to pray as a consequence? Yes, you will. If you are truly dependent on the Spirit and being directed by the Spirit, you will find your soul going out after God to pray. I urge you to take this to heart tonight. Have a prayer time every day. Before you see another face, before you get out into the world for your job, or maybe you're working from home, whatever the case may be, but before anything else happens, get before God and take up the book and say, Lord, speak to me today. Give me a word in season. And as the Lord speaks to you, then get down on your knees and begin to pray. And bring back to the Lord what He has shown you, what He has taught you on that morning from His own precious word. Bring it back to Him. Pour out your soul to Him. And say like David of old, do as thou hast said. And this is so applicable to our present situation. Because as I have preached in recent weeks, God shows us from His word that it's His will that we come back to His house. When His time arrives, we get before Him in the house of God and we gather again for public worship. That's something to pray. Are you praying about that? Are you bringing this before the Lord? Lord, this is your revealed will. Change the circumstances. We have surrendered to your will in the lockdown and in a dangerous situation. But Lord, it's your will that worship be restored. The doors of your house again are opened and the gatherings of congregations take place. Are you praying about this, pleading with God for this? It's revealed in here. Let's get before the Lord and pray for that specifically. But there are so many things. The Lord says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Are you praying, Lord, make me more holy? Romans 8, where the Lord says, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. There's the will of God. There's the Word and the will. Are you praying every day, Lord, make me more like Christ and less like self? I could keep on going here, but I don't need to. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh, creates intercession within our souls according to God. May the Lord give prayer like that even this night. Let us bow before the Lord. Father in heaven, use Thy word, we pray. Bring it powerfully to our minds, to our souls. Create in us soul thirst for Thee. Give hunger for the bread of life, yearning for God. Move, we pray. Teach us to pray. Give help as a brother will lead in prayer and Thy people go to prayer. And may there be a great calling on Thee. We ask this for Christ's sake. Amen.